This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:14 in the evening. You're listening to Lynn, Iman and Kelvin, and we're talking today about citizenship and specifically how our citizenship laws just are not gender equal. There's no other way to put it. They don't make sense at this point in time. So we are specifically looking at a movement to try to get the government to, or rather the government is already considering amending the constitution to allow Malaysian mothers to automatically obtain citizenship for their children who are born overseas, something that currently only Malaysian men have. And now on the line with us is Ivy Josiah, who is of course a longtime activist for women's rights, also currently an advisor and advocate for the Malaysian Campaign for Equal Citizenship. Ivy, thank you for joining us. Can you paint a picture of what usually results from this aspect of the law based on the accounts of women and children that you've worked with?
Gosh, you know, the affected mothers are deeply affected, both at the psychological, financial levels, because at the psychological level, they're told over and over again that they're not equal to Malaysian men. They're told it's a privilege that you're even having to apply for citizenship for your children. Now, you must remember, these are Malaysian mothers. These children are Malaysian. And during the process of application, they are told things like, well, we need to test your loyalty. I'm not saying all immigration officers do this, but there are some immigration officers are saying we need to test your loyalty. Are you sure you really want to come back? Or are you getting divorced? So they're subjected to quite a number of questions and made to feel very small, very, you know, it's a demeaning position. And of course, at the financial level is that, you know, you have to keep applying. Usually you have to go through many rejections. That means you're applying every, you know, almost every year. Some come back to apply. And so there is this financial impact. There is a psychological impact, not to mention family unity, because you are sitting here wondering when you can get the citizenship so that you don't have to, you know, they can stay there here more permanently, because every time you have to go out of the country. Why? Because the children are here on a social visit pass, right? They're on a social visit pass, so every 3 months they have to leave the country and come back. And again, you're subjected to a lot of questions. Why you keep coming up and down? Because she is allowed to stay here as long as she wants to, but her children are on a social visit pass. So there are tremendous hurdles. Now, for a Malaysian father, because by law, it says that he's entitled to confer citizenship on his children, these children who are born overseas. So the Malaysian father is also perhaps living in Australia or perhaps in, you know, in Turkmenistan or Egypt or, you know, or Singapore. And when his foreign wife gives birth to their children, he just has to inform the embassy. It's informing. And then within 3 days to 3 weeks, it's all settled. Malaysian mothers want the same procedures. That's it.
And I think we can more or less guess the answer to this, but why has there been this distinction in the law when it comes to Malaysian fathers and mothers?
Well, because this law was, of course, formulated during the colonial period. You know, it was a time where, you know, you get married, you know, and you follow your husband wherever your husband is. I mean, that used to be the old ways, right? You just follow your husband and your husband will take you to another country and you become, you know, a citizen of the other country. But now we've got choices. Malaysian women are not following their husbands. Husbands sometimes can follow their wives. Malaysian women are working overseas, right? They may be something as simple as you're working overseas. You've been asked to go and take a position, you know, in London or in Singapore. And while you're there, you give birth. You don't want to come back because sometimes due to health risks, you don't come back to Malaysia. Just because of the geography, you gave birth in a Singapore hospital or a hospital in London or in the Philippines. You had to do that because of, you know, convenience, health reasons to minimize risk. And you're immediately told, now you don't have the right. It's an ideological issue. Because the law doesn't recognize women and men as equals. And yet, one part of the Federal Constitution, Article 8 to be specific, says that gender cannot be used as a form of discrimination, right? So Article 8 was, in 2001, we celebrated the fact that men and women were finally seen as equals. Unfortunately, there are other parts of the Constitution where there are all these conditions. Yes, you're equal, But if you give birth overseas, married to a foreign man, well, I'm sorry, Malaysian mother, Malaysian citizen, you are not going to get the same rights. In a world where we are working towards gender equality, where in principle, Malaysia has accepted that they will do their darnest best, the government will do its very best, it's even in the Pakatan Harapan Manifesto, that they will eliminate and get rid of all laws that discriminate women. This kind of a law is old-fashioned. It is out of sorts. I mean, it doesn't belong to this time. This time, women are also working overseas. They are working. They are studying overseas, and also engaging in what we call transnational marriages. And your choice of your partner must be a free choice. You cannot say to all Malaysian women, just make sure you marry a Malaysian man. I mean, that's because Malaysian men are marrying. Well, we all know that, you know, Malaysian men also marry other, you know, foreigners or women from other countries. And their problems, it's seamless for them. They just register. They just inform the authorities. I now have a child who's now Malaysian.
And what happens to the rights of the children in these circumstances?
The children are allowed to go to school, but they don't have access to what Malaysian children will have. For instance, the health programs. They go to the hospital, they may have to pay more because the children are seen as foreigners, right? So the children are confused. They say, we are living in Malaysia, my mother is Malaysian, and they think they're Malaysians, but actually they're not Malaysian. They're not recognized as Malaysians. So there is also an effect, you know, on the child, because there's a situation of one family where somehow she managed to get a Malaysian citizenship for her first son, but her second son is not a Malaysian citizen. In fact, has become stateless because she traveled on a travel document from France, and an emergency travel document. She came back to Malaysia to look after her father, who was unwell. And then when she went to apply for her second son as a citizen, it's still pending. So the child and mother are sitting here in Malaysia, not being able to travel back to France, where her husband is sitting in France, because the child hasn't got the citizenship papers, because he has already traveled on a document which says that he's a Malaysian. So there's these odd situations where they become stateless too. Not all children are stateless, I want to emphasize that, but some children may become stateless. But what happens is the children are treated differently.
So then do many children end up having to follow their father's nationality in these cases?
Okay, we don't have the figures as to how many then gave up and opted to just follow the father's nationality. What we are dealing with are mostly mothers who are insisting, who are passionately wanting to be Malaysian citizens. They want their children to be Malaysian citizens. So we don't know how many gave up, how many said, you know what, forget it, I'm just going to get the citizenship for my child, you know, to be a German or to be an Indonesian or to be a Filipino. We don't know that those figures, those kind of figures we do not have. A colleague of mine did a survey interviewing 126 mothers who are now presently living overseas and who all talk about how they have been applying and being rejected. And this is where there is like salt in the wound, where they're not even told why the children's application or their applications for their children are being rejected. No one knows why they're being rejected. So that is why we want the law, the federal constitution, for once and for all to recognize that fathers and mothers, and it's whether you're a father or whether you're a mother, when your child is born overseas, your children can automatically become citizens. So fathers enjoy this right. It's now time for mothers to enjoy this right. Because even this morning, because of yesterday's forum because there's been a lot of newspaper coverage, even this morning I got a call from a grandmother who's saying, you know, my granddaughter is, you know, in a Southeast Asian country right now, and I would like her to come back, you know, and to visit me. But she dare not leave the country until she gets the Malaysian citizenship because she doesn't want to get to be, you know, a Thai national. She wants to be a Malaysian citizen. So she's afraid that if she opts for a Thai nationality and a Thai passport, that's going to restrict her child from becoming a Malaysian. So, you know, it has a lot of repercussions. You're not even able to come back to visit your grandmother, So there are lots of repercussions, there's a lot of impact.
Can you tell us what has been the response of the general public towards the campaign and the issue?
Ever since the campaign was launched yesterday, there has been an overwhelming support from the public to say that this is not right. There has been an amazing number of emails and comments, you know, on social media to say that this is not right and the government must recognize that mothers are equals to fathers. Even though there are some detractors, I think the detractors basically reflect the kind of attitude where they say that, you know, women are cannot be trusted. You know, who do they marry? You know, why do they marry these foreigners? I think those kind of questions are never asked of men. So I think that is a very small number of people who are making these kind of nasty comments. But for me, the overwhelming response has been very positive. And more mothers and grandmothers are coming and saying, I'm in the same plight too. My granddaughter comes back, but is only allowed to live here for a few months and then has to go out and get a social visit pass. So I think what is really interesting is there are so many mothers. Unfortunately, we don't have the figures, and that's one of the first things we need to do, go out and get the actual figures. But even if one mother is affected, that's one Malaysian citizen who is not enjoying her right to equality.
Ivy, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Ivy Josiah, advisor and advocate for the Malaysian Campaign for Equal Citizenship. You can find out more about that on the Facebook page for the Foreign Spouses Support Group. And again, I mean, just listening to Ivy and thinking about it, guys, there is no logic. I cannot,
doesn't make sense.
I'm struggling to find the logic and I can't. So I hope it happens.
Yeah, because right now it does, again, signal to a lot of women that not only are they not equal citizens of the country, they're also not equal parents. And that is sad, right? Given that you are the one likely to be carrying the child for like 9 months and, you know, you're still not recognized and you're still not given the equal right that men have.
That, and also you're passing that on to your child who also doesn't feel welcome here in the country because... Oh, I see. So it just change it. Sorry. A plaintive cry for no reason, but actually for good reason. Anwar, meanwhile, says 2 years for a foreign spouse to get a PR. Really? It took my wife 17 years to get that. And that was after several visits to the Home Ministry and Immigration. Unnecessary stress, waste of everyone's time for individual applications to be reviewed. It should be automatic.
Yeah, and it's also very strenuous on finance. It's strenuous financially. It's also very hard on a lot of families, right? Especially if you have kids to think about, you have your spouse to think about, and then sometimes included in the picture is also your parents that you have to think about. So again, this doesn't make sense, right? That at the same time, the Home Ministry can just say, well, we're going to reject your application when you ask why. They don't have to get back to you.
Hema says on WhatsApp, I'm glad finally some steps are being taken to amend this article. It is total confounding and no rationale there that there should be a difference in the process of application for one's child's citizenship purely based on gender. This somewhat shows gender inequality. It is necessary to make a change in this article.
Yeah, I think it definitely shows gender inequality because, again, there is no other basis. It's just, well, okay, you're the mother, therefore. You're the father, therefore. And that just... It doesn't make any sense. I cannot say this enough. It doesn't make any sense. You can send your thoughts through to us. You can call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.